This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. We did talk about yesterday at the end of the show, kind of. The stuff was still developing. But the Charlie Kirk assassination, and then after the show, what went down in Evergreen, at Evergreen High School. And then obviously we know what today is. 24 years ago, the 9/11 attacks took place. I was a freshman in high school. We got a 3-hour show today, and I'm not going to do a lot of this, it's not that I'm not paying attention to the news. It's not that I'm not paying attention to politics, but people that tune into this show, I think this is a true form of getting away from it. You know, listening to my thoughts on the sports world or just random crap that we come up with, Micah's terrible jokes, and they are terrible. That's what you want. And if you don't want it, you don't tune in. That's fine. So we're not going to make 3 hours today about what was an awful day yesterday and what was an awful time in our history, in our lives 24 years ago. I believe I was 15 or 16, freshman in high school. But what the Evergreen shooting was... This situation. Now, again, one of the students shot at Evergreen High School remains in critical condition this morning, according to hospital officials. An unidentified teenager shot two of his classmates at the Jefferson County High School on Wednesday before shooting himself, according to the sheriff's office. He later died from his injuries at the Common Spirit Anthony Hospital in Lakewood. One victim remains in critical condition at St. Anthony Hospital, Dr. Brian Blackwood said in a Thursday morning news briefing. The second was stable and transferred to a different facility Wednesday night. So we'll keep our eyes out, certainly, for that. I am, you know, in this day and age, some people say, well, your hopes and prayers don't work. Well, I'm going to say a prayer because I can't really go down there and do anything. There are things that can be done in this country, and I think what Brian and Tanner talked about is it does start with the individuals. And going over to the Charlie Kirk assassination at Utah University. Like, what he was doing, I talked about this yesterday. I watched a lot of those videos and a lot of those arguments. And I saw a lot of people that were very different from him, but really seemed to enjoy getting the opportunity to get up to a microphone and talk. And yeah, sometimes it got out of control. But there were other venues where he would be in a room and he would bring up a topic and a student would run up to the chair and sit down and they'd start going at it. That, to me, is what we need. I've always been, Michael, you and I have talked about this, I'm a fan of Bill Maher. I don't agree with a lot of his politics, but I am intrigued by the conversations. He recently started doing a show or a podcast, video cast, in his like living room, and they sit down and have a couple of beverages or whatever. And a lot of times these are people that traditionally are on the complete opposite side of the aisle as him. I find those shows fascinating. I find the opportunities to sit down with people that disagree with you fascinating. And that's what Charlie Kirk meant to a lot. I'm not saying I agreed with every single thing. I agreed with a lot. And he was seemed to be a very good man in his faith. And that was inspirational to me. And if you were unfortunate enough to see the videos yesterday, like I was, because they just kind of are everywhere, it's awful. Something about seeing it So I'm not sitting here today, and I know some people want to do this, and they're comparing which one was worse. Why aren't they focusing on this one more? It's kind of like when a celebrity dies, Mike. When a celebrity dies, the world knows about that celebrity. When a random person like us, we got our circle, and that's who knows us. But this is, Charlie Kirk was known. I mean, the guy had millions of followers on his social media feeds. So that's why it's talked about. Are we comparing the two? No. These are all terrible. The fact that we have high school shootings, school shootings, and it's just kind of news. I saw one clip from a young student at Evergreen that said, yeah, I just moved here. I didn't think it would happen this quickly. Think about that. He, in the back of his mind, goes to school every day thinking there's a pretty good chance there might be a shooting. And he says, I didn't think it would happen this quickly. It's terrifying. I have a child on the autistic spectrum. We do homeschool with him. We tried school. I think about these children that are going to school, and maybe their situation doesn't allow for one of the parents to stay home with that child, so they do need to go to school, whether they're getting something directly from the school or not, like as far as learning, but they're there. Sometimes these kids can't handle their emotions. They can't be quiet. They can't hide. So I think through all of those things, too. It was just an awful day that, as the day went on, it rocked me, and I think I know it rocked a lot of people. If you're a normal, logical, decent, somewhat human being, then you look at both acts and you're absolutely saddened, you're disgusted. And if you are one of these radical people that are saying they are glad Charlie Kirk is gone, I don't want you to be a part of the show. I don't want you to. I don't want to be like that person either. It's just like, if you don't like this, then go ahead and unfriend me and unfollow me. But this is a human's life who was not doing anything illegal and was just opening up conversations with people. A lot of them had positive outcomes. And if the response to that is, I'm glad, then that's something that really scares me. Not just about the country. This isn't just a country thing. This is a world thing. Those views, I mean, it's almost like some of these people treat a death like a character dying in a series, a TV series. We're so quick to, you know, Game of Thrones. Oh, I'm so glad so-and-so finally died. That's what I was seeing on some of this. And I had to keep not blocking, but not interested in this. It's awful. And for those that are doing the right things, whatever side of the aisle you're on and saying there is, and if you truly believe that, I hope is the case, but saying whatever side of the aisle you're on, this is not the way to do it. What happened in Minnesota, what happened at the time running for president, President Donald Trump, and what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk and what happened yesterday at Evergreen. I'm not trying to mush them all together, but these are terrible, terrible incidents. And I listened to Brian and Tanner and what they were conversing about. It does start with those individuals, and that's where I thought Charlie Kirk was trying to do that kind of thing. Like, when you see these guys on the podium talking and on podcasts and stuff, it's easy to just throw stones and, oh, that's a terrible person. But then when you get a chance to meet them and then you have these conversations, you can learn a lot. Maybe you won't change your opinion, but you also learn that that guy's not, like, trying to get you, not trying to kill you. He's trying to have conversations. And again, I'm not a Charlie Kirk studier. I didn't sit down and watch every single thing or listen to all of his podcasts. Randomly, the videos would come across my timeline of him at these colleges, and it'd be like a 10-minute, 5-minute clip of him having a conversation with a student. Terrible, terrible day. Big Hub texting in on the First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043. Brady, since I'm a reporter, I want to ask what went through your mind when 9/11 happened. I was a freshman, and I remember a senior. I mean, we're sitting like in our little lobby area. It's where we all would gather before classes would start. And I got there early because my sister would drive me. I was a freshman, so she would have volleyball practice sometimes in the morning. So I was there early, just hanging out by myself. And then a senior walked in. It was on the football team. And there's three or four of us standing around, and he just said, did you guys see what happened? And I had not. And that day was just like, wait, what happened now? What's going on? The World Trade Center complex, the Pentagon, were attacked. And the teachers for the rest of the day, there was no English, there was no Spanish, there was no math. It was, they'd load up the TVs on those tray thingies with the wheels. Every classroom, as many as they could spare, had a TV with the news on. And you know what I remember from that, Mike? It was not a lot of broadcasting on why it happened, necessarily. Not that day, at least. It was like, here are the facts. Here's what's going on. In this day and age, something like this happens. Look, with Charlie Kirk yesterday, it is an immediate political discussion. And I get that there are times for that. Whose side was he on? And la, 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 la. And I'm not ignoring that, because I do think there are times to have those conversations. But that day, that's what I recalled, was it was just, here are the facts of what's going on, and here's what we know. What went through my mind? I don't know. I mean, again, I'm 14, 15 years old. I wasn't the biggest into news and politics. I've always kind of been more of a sports and probably more of a goofball. And so I'm not understanding the gravity of it until the day kind of moves on. And, you know, our coach came to us for football. Like, hey, I believe, if I remember right, we still did football practice and all that. Trying to just keep things going. And I think that's an important thing, too. And that's part of what I wanted to open with, was this discussion is not going to be one we're going to carry on throughout the day. It's not that we don't care. These issues, and I get that the political struggles in this world, all of that, the divide, that stuff is way more important than whether or not Bo Nix is going to bounce back and beat the Colts on Sunday. I get that. I know what my role is. Tanner and Brian kind of mix it. You know, they talk about the important stuff. They mess around. They talk sports. They do it all. When you tune into this show, the way we've built it for the longest time is you're tuning in for sports takes and probably a lot of silliness, probably a lot of goofiness once in a while. Texter here from Faith. Despite anyone's opinions, how can we forget that this man had parents, a wife, and two small children, these sweet babies? Sweet baby's daddy didn't come home to them last night. Yeah. 31 years old. Two little kids. Great wife. You know, from what we've seen, pictures and all that stuff. That is terrifying. And I've seen the videos of right before when he's talking to people and he's getting ready to sit down and do his thing. The fact that the thought is there that the best way to end this person who I disagree with is to kill him. And then the fact that there are some that are talking about him like he wasn't a real person. I just don't get it. It breaks my heart. It just absolutely breaks my heart. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to read some of these, but texter here, thank you for keeping the normalcy we need in a day like today. Yeah, and we'll do that from the rest of the day on. We're going to just continue, get into the whole show stuff. We've got Kevin Lytle's going to join us here in the 1 o'clock hour. Michael, we've got the Thursday night special. Are we good? You know where I'm going with that? You produced two clips, right? Because I haven't made the pick yet. So maybe. You always got two clips ready. And one of those you throw in the trash. I like to make you work extra. I don't want you to get rusty. So
there's a reason why I've been quiet this entire segment. I'm working on...
You're doing it now. Procrastinator, huh?
Maybe.
You know this day is coming. You know this day is coming. Every Thursday, Mike, what do we do? What do we do?
Breakfast.
We do Thursday night special, and we are 1-0 on the season. And now we've got Washington and Green Bay. You got any way you're tilting on this one, Mike?
I'm going to say it's going to be a tie.
I don't think there's a lot of good about you sometimes when you say things like that. If it's a tie, I will give you five. I will give you the swing line stapler.
I want what you were going to say before. I
what did you
$5.
Think? No, that swing line stapler is worth more than $5. That thing is like a legend of the station.
That thing doesn't even work.
It's exactly right. It's like a relic.
No. I want the $5.
If it ends in a tie, I will give you the swing line stapler.
$5.
And I will buy you something to eat. How about that? That works?
Yes, buy me something to eat.
All right, we'll see where we end up going here. We'll talk a little Denver Broncos. Sean Payton kind of walking back a little bit, saying he's taken most of the blame for the fact that they didn't get a run game going. And again, that is what is going to ultimately help Bo Nix. I can't put a lot of blame on Bo. I just can't. I mean, he didn't look good, but this offense had no rhythm to it. And I think that goes into the fact that he had 6 carries in the first half. So we'll see kind of how that plays this weekend against the Indianapolis Colts. We got top stories of the day coming up. We've got buy or sell. I've got Thursday night special. The Kevin Lytle going to join me. There's a quarterback competition maybe, huh? Jackson Berceau is getting some reps with the ones in Fort Collins, mixing it up with Braden Fowler, Nicolosi. What does that look like? What does that mean? Kevin will be on to talk to us about that. Great. If you guys haven't downloaded it yet, I had my Football 52 podcast yesterday with Ed Lamb, and we're getting a lot of downloads on that because we broke into it. We spent about 40 minutes talking about what went down Saturday, and then we kind of turned the page to South Dakota, which I think is going to be a very tough battle for the Bears. But it was fascinating to kind of hear Ed Lamb's comment. There's no sour grapes with that guy. There's no, oh, the ref screwed us. No, it's a, yeah, if you ask him, was it a catch? He's like, well, yeah, I mean, I agree. Carver tells me it was a catch, so I agree. There was no, like, we got screwed over, blah, blah, blah. You know what he told me? He said he told his team, hey, guys, congratulations, you won the internet. You won on the internet. That means absolutely nothing. So Ed keeping it pretty pretty businesslike for the most part.
I like it.
Yeah.
But I can say that it was a victory. I can say it was the great canvas robbery. What do you think about that one? Great canvas stadium robbery. Let's hashtag that.
That's better than the Ramception.
The great canvas stadium robbery.
Not bad. That's not bad.
We need to get it going. This needs to be epic. This needs to be remembered in history.
Just call it the canvas stadium robbery. The canvas robbery. Something quick.
The
it's
great,
too long.
Well, not
it's
canvas, canvas stadium.
Right.
Because you're not, they didn't rob canvas.
You're right. They robbed the stadium. It's still too long. I feel like it's still too long. I don't think we need to put the grade in there.
Okay. Canvas stadium robbery. The canvas stadium robbery.
The canvas stadium robbery. Maybe. Yeah. I'll go with you on that. Well done. Look at us. Getting along. It's a wonderful time to do it.
We always get along.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I mean, we agree on a lot of stuff. We agree that the great canvas...
No, get rid of the great.
...stadium robbery
Just
or the canvas stadium robbery.
Canvas stadium robbery, yeah.
Was this thing.
Yeah, but you...
UNC got robbed.
You came up with a terrible one yesterday, though. The Ramception.
Trying to make it epic.
Because he's not a Ram, Mike. He's not a race to be the Bear.
But it was
the
against
Bearception.
The Rams.
Yeah, but, yeah. 24 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. Why I'm not really worried about Bo Nix and a big-time regression coming up. We'll get into that. What Sean Payton had to say about that game plan as they officially turn the page and they look at all things Indianapolis Colts. Should we be worried about that Colts team that beat Miami 33-8. Let's get into it. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.
From preps to college, to the pros. We have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Good song.
Reminds me of Deadpool.
I just wonder why.
You needed something calming today. It reminds me of Deadpool.
Deadpool is not calming, Mike. That is not a calming movie. If I want to relax, I'm not watching Deadpool make terrible jokes and run around in a costume.
It's a movie that I can watch at any point. Sad, happy, angry. I watch it and I just feel great afterwards.
That's a weird thing. I thought it was too much. The jokes were too much.
And that was Deadpool, too.
Yeah. What is that song called?
Careless Whisper. George Michael.
What is the texter saying here? I appreciate the empathy and balance on the show today. Thank you. What is that, Mike? Are you looking
at the... I don't have the texter.
Oh, pull up the text line. Spando Ballot? Really, guys? That's you. That's on you. That's on Michael. I don't know why. Like, I have a certain amount of songs that I put in, and Michael just plays whatever his brain tells him to play, and apparently he thought I'm Never Gonna Dance Again was appropriate for our next chat about Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. You think Bo Nix's guilty feet ain't got no rhythm? Is that where you're going with this? Because I, for one, think Bo's gonna be fine. I have no panic button pressed at all. I have a little scared Monday and then Tuesday. Now I'm like, you know what? I think it's going to be all right. Sean Payton shoulders the blame, according to the Denver Post, for the Broncos' shaky week one offensive performance. He said he came away from Sunday's performance feeling like he had to be a lot better. He said, quote, "I don't know how many games I've called, but that's one of those where I came away from it like, man, I've got to be better." Yes. Dude, football is such a hard sport, and even the great quarterbacks, it's hard just to say, drop back, make stuff happen. You can do that with Lamar, but you can't do that with anybody else. And with Bo, but even Lamar, all kidding aside, there's a rhythm in those games with these great quarterbacks that you see. Yeah, there's times where it's just quarterback go. We gotta come back here, and it's just throw every time. Maybe they're in somewhat of a prevent defense. But what I noticed the most, without getting into too much of the weeds of like the X's and O's, is there's just no rhythm to what the Broncos are doing. When they run the ball, it's kind of like, oh crap, we haven't ran it. RJ Harvey up the middle. You know, I know the calls are a lot more complex than that. But it just seemed to me that this game was a lot more about Bo Nix. I made this comparison today. It's like a gambler when they're down. They just made a bet and lost, so now they're chasing a bet, and they doubled the bet, try to catch up, get back to where they were. With the Broncos, they have a bad play on a run game, on a run play. It's almost like Sean Payton thinks, oh, I've got to get that back, and let's go like, four passes in a row. Let's get Bo into a rhythm. Sometimes getting your quarterback, especially a younger quarterback, in the sense of young NFL quarterback, to get to him in a rhythm, we have to establish the run game, even if it's not working. Six carries in the first half. If that happens again, like against the Colts, I don't know if you're going to see. You might see the same kind of performance. Bo's not there. He's not a good enough quarterback to be the reverse. Like, the passing game's going to get the run game going. He's not there yet. I think he's fine. But he's probably closer to average than he is good. At some point, I believe he could be good. But this is why I thought in the offseason, giving him the right weapons, giving him all the right tools was so crucial. So at first, when they drafted Jahdae Barron, I was kind of, I don't love that because I want the best players that you get in the offseason to be offense. Now, I've changed my tune on that a bit because Hufanga's amazing. Jahdae Barron's going to be awesome. So I'm good with that. Take a great unit and make him greater. And that's what they did with the defense. But that's why initially I was wanting Denver to put that focus into how do we make sure Bo Nix has got the best weapons at his disposal. And where you went the biggest upgrade on the offense this year, and no, Evan Ingram, I get that one, but was at the running back position. You drafted R.J. Harvey, and then late in the game, you signed J.K. Dobbins. So I didn't... That part bothers me a bit. That was your biggest offseason pickup for the offense, was those two running backs. And you don't use them? You're not trying to get them week one into any kind of a rhythm? And yeah, you used them. Dobbins had 16 carries. But Harvey had six. That guy built like a tank. He's durable. Give him the football more. So I am putting most of this on. Now, Bo underthrew guys. He overthrew guys. He and his receivers and his tight ends were not on the same page a good portion of that game. So that part, yeah, that has to get better. I think it was just a bad game. A little concerning that the preseason was what it was. Didn't see him a lot. But I'm willing to just kind of look at that and say, all right, game one jitters. You had a coach that... For all this offseason talk of how we're going to be able to run the football and how we got two big-time weapons now in the ground game, we didn't do any of that stuff. Like, that bothers me, Mike. I got to think that Sean Payton believes in what he's saying when he's like, man, there's not many games I've looked back and said I could have been a lot better, which is also kind of arrogant. But it's all right. That part at least makes me think he... Last year, though, he had to write, you know, run the ball on his play sheet, and it didn't always get much better. Hopefully, this is that wake-up call for him. Because if you want your quarterback to be better, you have to establish the run game. That's true for Patrick Mahomes. That's true for all these guys. Now, again, these great quarterbacks can create, and they can audible. They're good enough where even if the run game's bad, they're carrying the team. But that was... What was the theme... You know, between the Bills and the Ravens, they both of those teams established a positive run game. Now, when I say positive, like James Cook for the Bills had 44 yards, but 13 carries. Josh Allen is part of the run game, too. Some of those are designed, some of those are takeoffs. He had 30. Ty Johnson had 24. 108 yards isn't like something amazing for the Bills. But they were 31 carries in that game. For the Ravens, 29 carries. And Derrick Henry, obviously, 18 of those. I don't care who's getting it, but 18 for 169, two touchdowns. You're going to ride that hot hand. That's what I'm seeing. And then the Bills stayed with it. And then when it came down to crunch time, they had a lot of confidence. Denver had 30 carries in this game. So it was about the same. The problem was they all stormed on into the fourth quarter. 30 carries between 22 carries between R.J. Harvey and J.K. Dobbins. And only six of those were in the first half. So it's not like the number. That's why I'm saying, like, it's almost like, oh, we got to get 30 carries. Now let's run. There's got to be a flow in that. And you've got to establish that run game much earlier than what you've been doing or what you did last week. Texter says, hello from Tennessee. Give the Broncos some time. Sean Payton's system will come to fruition probably next year. He's a proven winner. As for Bo Nix, time will tell. Is Bo Nix really on that? Not really sure what we have yet.
We know what we have.
What do we have?
We have a winner.
We have a winner. Okay. His mentality is a winning mentality. I like the fight. I like the animation when he, you know, he's off on a read, or there's a guy that needs to be in a certain spot. I like it. I don't know, the boys were talking about it on Good Morning NoCo. Tanner mentioned it. Like, he didn't like how animated he was. Man, I watched Russell Wilson look like a wet blanket for 2 years. I like the fight. I want to see more of that. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'd rather have a Warner Brothers cartoon than what we had a few years ago.
What is the Warner Brothers?
Animated.
Ah, yeah.
Going with the pun.
Good job, Mike. Good job. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick. No more puns today. I'm going to outlaw the puns. You've taken advantage of me. You have used them too much.
Rapunzel.
Because people laugh once. You've done like 30. I'm going to give you one a day. I'm going to give you one a day. And that's your one. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope that one was worth it.
Are you going to give me the vitamins, or are you going to, is this a pun wise?
No, pun. I don't want the puns. You're overdoing the puns.
Well, I was just asking.
It's like it loses
one of the vitamins.
It loses its venom when you do it too much. And I think Hooligans, can I get a amen here? Can we agree? It's too much. If it's every other segment or twice in a segment, it's too much. You're better than that.
Am I though?
Just throwing out like that approach is not a good idea. Just take your time and really deliver a good one. You know, I don't need quantity from you. I need quality from you. Throwing them out, just hoping and praying it's going to be good, is not a good strategy for you. You're just not as funny. You're not that funny.
I'm not funny. I'm punny.
You're funny. See, like, that's another bad example. You can't. Can you stop? Can you stop? Like, can it not shut down? It won't stop, will it? Wow.
Well, the more frustrated you get, the more puns I want to make.
I just don't even say puns anymore. Don't even say that word. I don't want to even say it. Come up with a different word for puns, because I don't.
Brady.
Whatever, man.
Brady's my word for puns.
40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out, please, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
All right, the Colorado Buffaloes taking on Houston tomorrow night. We'll have a special edition of the picks, not because it's a special edition, it's just because every edition of the picks is special. Picks are on Friday. Everyone knows that. Ryan Staub, we think, is expected to get the start for the Buffs, but Coach Prime is not revealing that information. He has said multiple times now he's not going to reveal that to the media. He told Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, during their show last night that, I'm not going to tell you guys that. Oh, okay. That's fine. I still worry about this whole thing. It's not a knock on Ryan Staub. It's more of a, we didn't talk about Ryan Staub all offseason. It was Caden Salter and it was Juju Lewis. And now 2 weeks in, both those guys healthy, by the way, it's Ryan Staub. Clearly, they're seeing something, not just from the games, but maybe practice, that would lead them to believe that option A and B are no longer options A and B. That now it's Ryan Staub. And I think that now Staub could go on and have an amazing game against Houston. And he could be the next big time star for Colorado. Don't you find that a little hard to believe when your own coaching staff thought he was a third quarterback? And now suddenly after two games, he's number one? And I get it. Like, Juju Lewis is 17 years old. So you're not ready. You're not ready to say he's the guy, and maybe you want to redshirt him. Caden Salter out of Liberty was supposed to be a pretty big get for the Colorado Buffaloes. I think this is more of a bad sign. And it's not a knock on Ryan Staub. It's just he wasn't your plan. But Coach Prime saying he's not going to give us that information just yet. All right. This is an interesting game tomorrow, because you have a situation where if you start out 1-2, What's the confidence level that you're going to go into the rest of the of conference play? Or I guess they got another one against Wyoming in the non-con, but they have BYU on September 27th, and I know the quarterback thing and all that. But if you lose to Houston tomorrow night, I mean, BYU is still, you know, Bachmeyer. I watched him play. Was it against Stanford last week? Was that who BYU played? He had 272 yards passing and three touchdowns. Two touchdowns? My bad. This one's an interesting one because you're at Houston tomorrow night. That's 5:30 kickoff. Home against Wyoming, late game, 8:15. Mark was talking to us about that. That's going to be nice. And you know it's not going to start right at 8:15. Then it's BYU, TCU, and then you got your ranked teams coming up, Iowa State and Utah. They have to try to stay above water here by the time they get to the middle portion of their conference schedule because it's not going to get any easier. So tomorrow's pretty, pretty big opportunity for the Buffs, and they are listed as dogs in this one. 4.5-point underdogs to the Houston Cougars. And Houston, they beat Stephen F. Austin 27-0, and they beat Rice 35-9. Doesn't tell us a whole lot, but I was reading a lot of the preview stuff over the offseason, and for some reason, I had the Georgia Tech game where I thought that's going to be a win for Georgia Tech. Houston is going to be a swing game. That could be a close game, but if you lose that, there's a darn good chance you're one and two going up against Wyoming. And yeah, if we're just talking about it, the favorites would be out. CU would be a favorite to beat Wyoming, so you would be at a 500 record before you take on BYU. I'm not saying that's my pick. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. But if you're 2-2 to start conference play, how are we feeling? That's going to be, like I said, dude, Friday night football, it's going to be a big one. 11:50 the time. Let's take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we got top stories of the day. More on the football side of things. Colorado State's in their own quarterback situation. And we'll get to some of that a little bit later on. And we've got the buy or sell. We've got the Thursday night special. Kevin Lytle's going to join us. Jam-packed program. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I want to thank one of our excellent sponsors, Big City Roadhouse. They just opened up a week ago. You guys, I've already heard from the owners, too. I believe we're going to try to get them on with us here pretty soon. But they were amazed. They're like, we're getting so many different customers, new customers that they loved Cables, or maybe they're coming in. They've never even been to Cables before, but they're checking this place out. So you're getting the word. Trust me. Everything I hear, this place is top-notch. And I have no reason not to believe my new friends over at Big City Roadhouse might make my trip over there today. Kevin and I will do our post-show discussion like we tend to do. Rams Weekly's coming up at 2. But Big City Roadhouse, tavern-style pizza, wings, steak, Big City flavors, full bar with creative cocktails. They got TVs all over the place. It's going to be so cool. I can't wait to stop by Big City Roadhouse. This is going to be the big thing. Throughout northern Colorado. You know, I know it'll be in Greeley, but I make the drive. It's going to be that good. Big City Roadhouse. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Even our listener from Tennessee. It might be worth the drive. Micah will buy the first round.
Roadhouse.
Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.